You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back with the April Fool's Day edition of the M Squared TechCast, but we're not kidding around here today.
No, we were trying to figure out some gag to start the show, but... Nah, couldn't come up with any good.
Yeah.
So we'll just run this straight for
the
a
real.
Change.
Yeah, I was gonna say the real world is already plenty weird enough.
We don't need more weirdness, especially out of this studio. There's enough weirdness out of this studio.
That's right.
So, all right, yeah. So I'm gonna since I can do this, we're gonna be talking.
It's your show.
It's
by
my
golly.
Show by gum, and so we're gonna be talking about IoT Tech Connect, which is also one of my shows. I'm co-producer of that, and it's shameless plug, Bill.
Yep.
That's April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. It's actually year two. We did year one last year, and it was okay.
Learned a lot.
Yeah, a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And so I have with me calling in from his new home in West Virginia. I don't know how he pulls this off, but Rick Beckers. Well, you've got so many companies. Which ones do you want to identify yourself with?
Well, CloudTech One is my headquarters home organization. It's where we all started there in Michigan. And then we'll tie in X's One too, the national play, because they all work together, especially when it comes to this IoT Tech Connect thing.
Yeah. So I'll talk a little bit really quickly about what it is in general. Then we'll go in more specifically into the tracks that Rick is organizing. I organized more content tracks. He organized more technology tracks, so we get a nice flavor of both for our audience. We're at the Michigan Science Center all day on April 29th, which, as we speak today, that would be 4 weeks from today. And so we have seven different tracks, including one that's entrepreneur support. We'll be talking to Lauren Hoffman from the Woodward Angels here shortly, and she'll be talking about that. We also have autonomous vehicles. We have mobility. We have cybersecurity. I know I'm going to forget one here. Oh, we have Unity, one of the biggest 3D software companies in the world, is putting on a workshop for beyond virtual reality. It's the new 3D virtual reality they're going to be talking about. And then we have the entrepreneur track, and then we have your tracks, Rick. You have IoT 101. Let's start with that. What's that going to be about?
Well, pretty self-descriptive. IoT 101 is going to be three sessions in a track that is identifying, what is it that makes up IoT, and try to talk people through how the various people can play a part in it. So first session, for instance, talks about the business ROI. First session was actually IoT Solution Think Tank. And we're going to kind of evaluate businesses and look at the different potential ways that IoT can help business with the collection of data, maybe redefining and simplifying workflows, the analysis portion of, what do you do with the data? How does it benefit you? How do you connect all this stuff together? What does a customer experience need to look like in order for an IoT solution to really be a hit, so to speak? And it's going to be targeted, that particular session, as it are a lot of these that I've developed, they're going to be targeted at business decision makers. So there's the corporate folks, the business owners, the C-level people, that have business problems. And they're like, well, would IoT help us in any way, shape, or form here? Well, this particular track is all about that. And that first session is kind of just an open think tank. We're gonna have a moderated panel of people to come in with experience in IoT. We'll have some people come from the private sector. That'll talk about their experiences and their successes and some of the gotchas and pitfalls and things that you don't want to run into. And we're hoping that, you know, as we go through the three sessions in the track, we're kind of building on one another. So the second track, or excuse me, second session in the track talks to those people who might want to be involved in the industry in terms of making money, the entrepreneurs.
A fine thing, by the way. Yes. So.
Yes, a fine group of individuals like myself and you. You know, how does my company become an IoT solution provider? You know, what does the industry look like? What is the channel comprised of? How do these pieces and parts get purchased and put together? And what does that look like so that we can shorten the time for somebody to come in and actually capitalize on the opportunity of the Internet of Things? And we'll do that again by case study overviews of how companies have converted their practices, created whole new IoT practices, identify who some of those people are in the industry, and kind of set you on your way so that you've got some direction versus, you know, just thrashing around on your own, and hopefully that'll help.
Real nuts and bolts kinds of stuff. And the other thing is, a lot of people don't understand even what Internet of Things is, which now it's Internet of Everything. I mean, you plug it into the Internet, you have an IP address, you're Internet of Things, right?
Yep, exactly, which is why session number three is going to exist, and that's IoT pieces and parts. It's going to be kind of an overview of the various components. There's collectors, there's sensors, there's endpoints, there's connectivity options of cellular fog computing. What is that? You know, satellite, all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, you got all sorts of different options that exist today with regard to the analytics portion of it, the servers and the software that does all that stuff, big data, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that kind of stuff, and then we're going to throw it open for the audience in this particular session to let them ask whatever questions they have. We'll get them the answers they need. We can have interactive conversation back and forth, and should be some fun.
Then that's the morning session. And then in the afternoon, we have technology as a service, which is really your sweet spot, right?
That is my baby. So anybody who has done anything in technology over the last few years must be aware that almost everything that used to be a big capital expense, you know, servers went to the cloud, storage went to the cloud, your phone systems are now hosted VoIP. Well, it's clear that the things that the big players in the industry are doing, like Microsoft, are telling us that everything is heading to a subscription-based offering. In one way, shape, or form, this is true, and it's, to me anyway, the final indicator was recently where Microsoft announced that they were now going to be pushing what they call virtual desktops in a big, big way. And what virtual desktops are is just that. It's a desktop in the cloud. It's no longer an operating system on a local hard drive, and so you can get at it anywhere you have an internet connection from any device whatsoever, and it always looks the same, and you kind of live there, and so on and so forth. So the technology as a service industry is one that we've jumped into. I mentioned XS1 earlier, which is a national distribution company that kind of channels all of this stuff and creates possibilities for people to make money in the industry. But we're going to highlight that industry for, again, I'm trying to bring as much business-to-business interest into the show as possible. And so this one, again, is targeted at business owners and CFOs, C-level executives and decision makers that are challenged with taking the problems in their business and applying technology to improve them. And so technology as a service is just that. And there are tons and tons and tons of new available technology that can be purchased on a subscription.
Sure. Rick, it's Matt. I was just going to ask you, is there any part of what we consider to be IT that can't be rendered as a service? I mean, it seems like that, you know, anything you could do with a dedicated staff or server room or something, you know, anything now, right? I mean, it's pretty close to that.
It is pretty close to that, and a lot of things are coming into focus, if you will, that are making this possible. Obviously, the internet speed is dramatically increasing all over. The coverage all over the country is coming into full play with satellite covering everything and 5G just around the corner. So it doesn't matter where you're at. You know, soon you'll be able to get at the internet and all of these things wherever you're at and wherever they're at. And so, you know, we need to let everybody know that. I want to make Michigan a hub for this type of activity. I want to make the corporate business people aware of everything that's happening, teach them how to migrate from one to the other, and then also bring into focus the people today that are doing all this stuff with on-premise stuff and introduce them to the vendors that make the offerings, and then kind of align everything and make sense of it. And again, teach everybody how to become an entrepreneur in this new technology as a service industry.
And my thinking right now is the Science Center has a 10,000 square foot ballroom where we're going to have the opening keynote, lunch, things like that. And so we'll put Rick's stuff, his sessions in there, and then the vendors that serve that particular industry will be in there too. So it'll be a show within a show, so that if you want to do the hardcore business-to-business stuff, that's all self-contained. If you want to just get educated on what's going on with the Southeast Michigan hot technologies like connected and autonomous vehicles, mobility, electric cars, things like that, then that'll be in some of the other rooms, and I think that'll work out pretty nicely.
Yeah. I want to make a specific invite, if I could, guys, real quick here, to the MSPs, the value-added resellers, the telecom agents, the computer consultants, all of those people who play in that industry. They should be here and have a booth at the show, because there's going to be a lot of people and a lot of interest looking for these solutions. This is where you want to highlight your company. And then you will also have options to meet the vendors that are in this industry and make up it'll be a lot of matchmaking going on. So,
well, I like to say the nice thing about this show is you're going to meet people that you can work with right away. And so I know, because there's a lot of IoT shows around the country. You've gone to a lot of them, but L.A., Vegas, wherever. This is a Michigan show. We focus on Michigan.
Right on.
So why don't we we coming up on a minute left. So go ahead and do a shameless plug for your latest company, XAAS1.
Yeah, XAAS1. The X is all things technology that can be purchased subscription-based. The AAS is the acronym for As a Service, and it's a national organization that is looking for vendors who sell their products as a service, and also looking for MSPs, VARs, telecom agents, computer consultants that want to meet those vendors to align the two and then be able to have those two organizations or those two components of the industry better prepared to fulfill the needs of the corporate customers that will already are gobbling up this stuff and switching from the old premise-based stuff to new annuity-based monthly recurring revenue opportunities and solutions.
All right, that's Rick Beckers, the co-producer of IoT Tech Connect. April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. Tickets on sale for only $99, and that includes breakfast and lunch. How can you go wrong with a deal like that, right? So
that's right.
Okay, so Matt, I guess take us out.
All right. Well, that's IoT Tech Connect, folks, and check it out. It's coming right up. And we'll be back in a moment with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Welcome back. It's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're here for another segment of the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
And we have calling in from lovely Grand Rapids, my hometown, Tim Parker, who is the new president, I'm not sure when you took over that gig, for the Grand Angels. Jody and I, as I mentioned when I was emailing with you, Jody, geez, we go back to 120 years or so. So when did you take over at Grand Angels, Tim?
Well, Jody retired about 2.5 years ago.
Whoa.
And she's still quite involved, actually. She's on our board, and she is also a managing partner for our venture capital funds. So Jody sends her regards. I was just on the phone with her recently this morning. And I've been in this role for about 2.5 years now.
Well, I'm out of touch, apparently. So I don't get over to West Michigan very much anymore. We also have in studio Lauren Hoffman, who is with the Woodward Angels, as well as Rock Financial, right?
Rock Ventures, yes.
Rock Ventures, okay.
Okay.
And so you're the liaison to the angel community from what I saw on LinkedIn. Is that right?
Sort of, yeah. So at Rock Ventures, my role is venture community liaison. So I sit on a special projects team there where I keep eyes and ears on the ground of the Detroit Metro startup scene and identify ways that we can help support it. So what are some of the gaps in the infrastructure that we can leverage our resources to help fill in?
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, I'm not sure who wants to field this, but so Grand Angels, Woodward Angels is essentially, yeah. What's the word, affiliate? What do you call it?
Sure. Yeah. So Tim, want to tell a little bit of the story of Grand
sure.
Angels and the Michigan Capital Network?
Okay.
Absolutely. We'd love to do that. Yeah. The Grand Angels is an angel investment group in the Grand Rapids, West Michigan area. We're about 15 years old. And we do two different things. We invest in early stage businesses through angel investing and then also through venture capital. One thing that we've known is to be a challenge across Michigan is entrepreneurs are having a difficult time with access to capital. We're trying to help that problem by using our back office to support other angel groups across the state and to help bring more capital to more entrepreneurs so we can create more jobs in Michigan. So the Grand Angels, a little over a year ago, we opened a group in Kalamazoo called the KZU Angels, and they're also affiliated with the Grand Angels under our umbrella name, which is the Michigan Capital Network. And then a few weeks ago, we opened the Woodward Angels with the help of Lauren to bring in angel investors from the Metro Detroit area. So we are able to identify, deploy more capital from more entrepreneurs, from more investors across the state. So you know, we're one network of groups. We can access all the deals across the groups, and in some cases, we can bring more capital to more entrepreneurs because of this network that we're creating.
All right, Matt.
All right. So what was the thinking? Why open a chapter in Detroit?
Yeah, sure. So coming from Rock Ventures, where we were doing a bunch of this research around the startup scene in Detroit, mm-hmm. we were seeing this same familiar sort of gap in the early stage funding ecosystem. So companies in Detroit and in surrounding cities that were looking to raise between a couple $100,000 and a couple $1 million in seed stage funding were really struggling to find that locally. And we knew that that was a problem we wanted to solve and that we need to solve for the sustainability and growth of the startup scene here. And so we were homing in on a thesis around starting an angel group and getting more investors in the game off the sidelines, devoting both financial capital and also social and intellectual capital to support startups here. And through that research, we're connected with the Grand Angels folks. And over time, originally, they were just sort of advisors. And over time, we came to collaborate to get this group started. And so it gets more of that infrastructure and that that back office and the resources that they've built into Detroit, where we're still building our robust community of angel investors. And it enables us to collaborate and share deal flow so that we can think about syndicating across the state and think about how we can best create that angel network across what is actually not that large a state.
So I guess that was one of my questions, too. Then will Grand Angels, Kazoo Angels, and Woodward Angels be doing deals together?
Yeah, sometimes. So not always. We have full access to each other's deal flow, and so we're communicating about what companies each of us are seeing, but it's on a deal-by-deal basis. So sometimes, yes, but not always.
And I know probably each of these groups is going to have a different sweet spot. I'm the most familiar with Grand Angels, and that's kind of old Grand Rapids money, manufacturing, things like that. Kalamazoo, I would imagine, would be pharma, things like that.
Yeah, more life science oriented.
Life sciences. Yeah. So what's Woodward's kind of sweet spot?
Yeah, sure. So I know Tim could speak in greater depth to Grand Angels and Kazoo Angels and a lot of the companies that they've seen and supported. And true, as you said, it's a lot of advanced manufacturing, precision technologies, life sciences. In Detroit and for Woodward Angels, we're seeing a tiny bit of overlap there, but we're really leaning on the expertise of our members. And so our members are coming from backgrounds in consumer tech, enterprise software, software as a service. We're seeing some mobility, an exciting amount of consumer packaged goods and fashion and design companies that are digitally scaling. So again, exclusively tech and digitally scaling. We're looking for venture backable companies, but in slightly different focus areas.
Well, certainly there'd be the downtown area is just, you know, bursting with tech entrepreneurs down there. I mean, I'm just amazed. When I started at the Free Press, God, I don't know, tell me how many years ago was that? 25.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth.
There wasn't much going on downtown, I'll tell you. But boy, it sure has changed.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Is that a really fertile ground for you guys to take a look at? What's going on down there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are a ton of tech companies downtown and more growing with some of the recent major startup growths and exits. We're seeing some more companies spin out now from those big players like Duo Security, like StockX. And so that's really exciting. And then, yeah, it's been perhaps the last 8 or 9 years that there's been tech activity in downtown. We're just sort of hitting that inflection point now where there's a ton of growth in downtown Detroit.
So are you willing to take a look at physical product companies, manufacturing deals here too?
Yes, we are, particularly or exclusively those that are digitally scaling. And so, again, no Main Street or small business, but essentially any company that we have enough familiarity with among our members to know that we could fairly assess and then contribute value to after an investment. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we can be there as more than just a check and really support companies on an ongoing basis.
Oh, absolutely. That's really key. You guys got the golden Rolodex. I mean, deals don't get done unless you know people, right? It's nice to have the dough, but you got to know who to talk to make things happen, right?
Sure, yeah. And really the advantage of a strong network of angel investors is so much more than that seed capital. It's those angel investors are also your early advisors and mentors and board members in some cases, your introducers, your corporate connections, etc. So
I'm going to insert a shameless plug at this point. All this information you've just heard is going to actually be on a panel that we're doing at IoT Tech Connect on April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. Lauren has graciously agreed to join us on that panel along with Dave Weaver from Great Lakes Angels and this woman by the name of Monica Wheat, who's had some success in downtown Detroit, too.
Yeah, just a bit.
So, well, it's going to be a great panel. And if you're an entrepreneur and you want to understand, because you have to know exactly what angel investors are looking for, otherwise you're kind of wasting your time, right? I mean, you got to zero in and know what the particulars are, right, would you say?
Sure, yeah. I mean, like anything, it's a question of fit. And when you're looking for investors, you're really looking for partners. When you have investors coming in, they want to see your business succeed as much as you do, ideally. And so you want to understand as best possible who you're talking to and whether you can enter into a really fruitful partnership.
Oh, cool.
Good. All right. So give us a little preview of what's going to be on the panel in terms of how to pitch to an angel investor.
Yeah. Give us your pitch to how to pitch.
Sure. Well, first, maybe I'll throw it to Tim.
Ah, okay. Go ahead. Take it away, Tim.
Well, I would say what angel investors are looking for is two things. First of all, a viable business model that can scale. And then secondly, a team that can make it happen. So we're about the jockey and the horse. And so,
I like that. Good metaphor.
One of the benefits of, yeah, we bet on both. We don't just bet on one or the other. So it's very important to us that the people who are leading these businesses are ones that can really make it happen and drive scale for the business. One of the benefits of working with an angel group is we have a large network of experienced professionals who can support that business once we've invested. So with the grand angels handling the back office work for deals and for managing the portfolio, that frees our members up so that we can use them for their time, talent, and treasure to help build these businesses and focus on their success. So from an angel investor standpoint, it's great to work in a group like the Woodward Angels, but also for these companies who are looking for capital, it's a great source of capital that comes also with the benefits of all of our capabilities to help them be successful.
Okay. So what's next now? I mean, you guys are over here in Detroit anyway, or in your embryonic stage. Are you still recruiting high? And we should probably define what an angel investor is.
Yeah, that
is.
That was my next question.
Go
is
ahead,
okay,
Matt.
So we're talking about, you know, you've told us, you know, how to pitch or given us ideas on how to pitch. What do I need to be or have to become an angel investor in this group?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, an angel investor needs to be an accredited investor. So there's some SEC requirements for that. You need to have a $1 million net worth, or you need to be making over a couple hundred thousand dollars a year.
You got that covered, Matt.
And in order to be part of one of our groups, we want to really know the members. So that process would involve having potential members reach out to us. And then we'll meet with them, and we want to make sure that they have shared values with ours and shared capabilities that would complement our needs. So if you're in the Detroit area, reach out to Lauren. If you're anywhere else, feel free to reach out to me, and we'd be glad to meet with you if you're interested. As an investor, it's a great way to have a portfolio of these early stage businesses to reduce your risk a little bit. And also, it's a lot of fun to be able to interact with other investors and learn from them. But most importantly, what we're doing is we're building jobs in Michigan by helping local companies grow and succeed.
Let's insert in how folks can reach out to you, Lauren, right now, so we don't forget to do that before the show ends here. So if I want to be an angel investor, I meet this criteria, what next?
Yeah, great. So you can go find us online at woodwardangels.com, or you can email hello@woodwardangels.com. And that'll reach us. And we'd love to talk further with any accredited investors who are interested in devoting both capital and really time and energy to supporting high growth businesses in Southeast Michigan.
All right. And Tim, if somebody wants to reach out to Grand Angels, how do they do that?
Well, I would say the best thing to do is email me at parkert@grandangels.org.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much, Lauren Hoffman of Woodward Angels, Tim Parker, president of Grand Angels in Grand Rapids. They are part of the Michigan Capital Network, right? Okay.
Yes.
And Lauren will be part of a panel at the IoT Tech Connect conference coming up later this month. Give me that date again, Mike.
April 29th.
April
Michigan
29th
Science
at the
Center.
Michigan Science Center in Midtown Detroit. Don't miss it. All right, we'll be back in just a moment with another segment of the M Squared Tech Cast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to us at podcastdetroit.com.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, emanating from PodcastDetroit.com.
The lovely studios of Podcast Detroit, ever expanding.
In Royal Oak, yes, the podcast empire of Bob and Dave.
Bob and Dave.
So
I think even
two pretty generic names, but not generic guys.
The man himself is here editing in the other studio, I noticed.
Oh, okay. So we will speak kindly of him.
Yes.
He might be able to hear us.
He might. So all of a sudden, if it gets cut off, we know he can hear us. So.
Yeah, right. That would be the April Fool's joke. Right?
Yes,
yeah,
there
just
you go.
Cut us off right in mid-segment here. But I sure hope it's not this one, because we've got Terry Bean from Motor City Connect on the line. Terry, how you doing?
If he was ever going to cut anybody off, gentlemen, I am sure it would be me.
There you go.
Okay.
The Empire Strikes Back. I love it.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are we doing?
Well, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff in this studio, so you have no idea how appropriate that is.
Absolutely, yep. Yeah.
My personal favorite is C-3PO Buddha there.
We have all sorts of paraphernalia right in front of us, so Dave, you know.
Okay, Terry, you are running the social media promotion track at the upcoming IoT Tech Connect Conference, April 29th at the Detroit Science Center.
Oh, Michigan Science Center.
Michigan Science Center,
yes,
sorry.
We get yelled at if we get that wrong.
Oh, yeah, so. I changed the name years ago. I should remember it. My bad. Okay. Lashes with a wet noodle and all that good stuff. So, Terry, talk about what you're going to discuss, what the latest in social media promotion is all about.
So we're going to talk about it from an entrepreneurial perspective, right? How do you get the good work that you're doing in front of the eyeballs and attract new eyeballs that you actually need to see it? So I've got three very talented folks who are going to be joining me. Leah McChesney, who runs a lot of promotion for events. I'm going to have Tom Lawrence, who is amazing at the whole YouTube game. Mm-hmm. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, he runs a Linux show right out of that same studio that you're in right now. And last but certainly not least is Robert Courtney Collins, who's kind of in the branding space. So it's going to be kind of a hybrid, right? We're going to look at video. We're going to look at content. We're going to look at branding and staying on brand and getting that information out through the right channels to the right audience.
All right. And you're already helping us. Terry and his team came on board last week, I think, because we just entered April. We're doing this show on April 1st. Now, some of you may hear it later in the week or in the month. But we're now focused on driving traffic to the show, ticket sales, and Terry and his team are helping us do that.
That's exactly right, because it's an important element, right? You have to be able to not only find the people, but you have to be able to communicate with them in the right way.
Yes.
It's no longer enough to just post something online and expect that everybody's going to see it. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be moderating and asking the questions. I think I'll probably have a couple, three of them lined up and ready to go. But like all good interviewers like you fellas, sometimes you just let the conversation go where the conversation takes you.
Yes.
And it's been always been my opinion at these kinds of events that it's the questions from the audience that provide the most value, because they're the ones that have parted with their time and a few bucks to come sit there with you. So they're the ones with the really interesting questions, the burning questions.
That's an excellent point, man. How do you field those, man? When you're up there moderating the panel, how do you make sure that you get that input too?
Well, it's interesting because I ask a couple of questions and I always explain that mine are lame compared to the audience's. So, you know, don't be shy, but it can be tough to get that first question from the audience. But after you do that, it really starts going, and it always seems like the best questions come just as your time is running out.
Yes.
I don't know why that is, but these like 45 minute slots here, roughly 50 minute slots. Okay, that's a comfortable length.
Yeah, I want to leave enough time at the end for a biological break or to get a cup of coffee or whatever,
or networking.
Networking.
Yeah, that's
yes.
what you do there. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
I mean, that's what this is all about. Is for the Detroit Metro Detroit Tech community to get together in an event for the Metro Detroit tech community. And so we were trying to add a lot of layer and a lot of elements that we think your basic tech entrepreneur needs to know. And that's certainly where Terry comes in. I'm no social media whiz. I'm just an old newspaper guy that's learned a lot of new tricks. So I have to rely on Terry and folks like him to help us get the message out.
Well, the one thing that I'm really excited about this event that you've put on, Mike, that you and Rick and Robert are putting on, is the idea of giving back to the Science Center itself, right? There's a wonderful fundraising component tied to this where 15% of the proceeds are going to go back to the Science Center itself, which to me is perfect, right? If we can get the current tech community helping fund the future tech community in Detroit. I mean, goodness, how many times do we have to hear about the brain drain and all the talent leaving? If we can get these young kids started and interested in STEM now, maybe they'll recognize that it's important for them to stick around and contribute in the future. So I'm really excited about that element.
Yeah, and certainly what the Science Center does, they have the STEMinista program for middle and high school students, I think primarily from the Detroit area and primarily females, and trying to get them interested in, all the possibilities of a career in STEM. And so a lot of that money that they raise will go towards that. We're still trying to get funded, anybody out there interested. We also have a program that we'd like to do Accelerate Kid wants to do. That would be a morning workshop for 75 Detroit area high school kids, boys, girls, who would be able to learn basic coding. We need to get a sponsor together for that. We're still kind of searching for that. So if anybody out there would like to support these kids so that they can get them on the path to get into STEM careers, let us know.
Absolutely. Very, very important. Seems like a good staffing company might want to do that, right? Talk about taking money out of one pocket and putting it into a future one. I'm always a big fan of that.
Well, in high school, I mean, I hate to say this with Matt sitting across the table from me, but in the modern world of tech, you don't necessarily need a college degree to succeed. You can get a year of training, basic training, at the grand circuses of the world or wherever, and get you started. Now, certainly I would not, since LTU is one of our sponsors, I would say, if you want to go on and get a college degree, Matt can help you out with that, right?
Right, but it's, traditional four-year college right after high school is not for everybody, and we recognize that too. That's why we're in the night and weekend and continuing education business.
Yeah, so, there you go. Yeah. So, you got to get them interested. You got to get them started. I was just on Carol Kane's Michigan Matters, and that very same topic came up, and we were talking about how do we, get more people involved to fill all these tech jobs. And the thesis here is get them started young. Get them, get them excited about the whole concept. But the other thing is these kids, they probably know a heck of a lot more about tech than I even know already. I mean, they grew up in this world. I mean, I'm a baby boomer, so, I had to learn this stuff. For them, this is their world, right?
Digital native, I believe, is the phrase we're looking for.
Oh, okay. I knew there had to be something out there. So,
yeah. I mean, you're right, though. They come on. They came already programmed with the ability to program. It's kind of an interesting time. Doesn't change the fact that a little education doesn't go a long way, though, right?
Yeah.
Just because you know how to set up a web page doesn't mean you know how to tie into a database or, configure a server. So there's lots of opportunity. So, yeah, I'm excited about that Accelerate Kid program. I'm excited about the work that we're doing with Michigan Science Center. Don't feel bad, Matt. I've butchered that like four times, too. it's going to be a great day. Actually, Mike and I took a nice little stroll around there a week ago today. It was kind of fun to be in the Science Center basically all by ourselves. I think we saw four people inside of that building. It was a unique perspective, to be sure. There's some cool stuff going on there.
It is a huge facility. And I was when we walked upstairs to look at the ballroom, which had all been broken down from the last event, kind of Terry was shocked to see how big the ballroom was, 10,000 square feet, So
yeah. I had no idea that it had that kind of capacity. So looking forward to seeing that be full. Lots of tickets available at iottechconnect.com. And yeah, to your point, I know that we're looking for a handful of vendors still, get a couple of booths sold. So lots of opportunity for a 8x10 space. If you're so inclined to get your information, your product, your service, your business in front of the Detroit area tech community. So we'd love to have that conversation with the folks.
So Terry, what is the latest in the life of the social media marketer today? I mean, different forms of social media seem to be best at attracting different types of people in terms of interests and age groups and occupations and that kind of thing. So what's the latest? I mean, I've heard that Facebook is pretty much for older people now. Where are the kids?
You know, so the kids are climbing and playing all over Instagram right now.
Yeah.
It's an interesting world to try and get their attention, because obviously, you know, when I do training and I always show the scrolling motion that we make with our thumb when we slide past each individual post, and I watch my daughter go through it. She's like, you remember Speed Reader from the old Great Space Coaster? You guys might be a little too old for that, but it just flies through that information. So they're certainly there, but there's ways to get in front of them, and I know Robert's going to have some conversation about that, and Leo will talk a little bit about Instagram as well from a marketing perspective, so I'm excited to hear what they have to share. Snapchat is still a thing, but I have never even, I got on that to check out my daughter once, so I have zero knowledge there. YouTube is always going to be prominent in terms of how-to stuff and getting the right information and being able to put that long-form video out. And by long-form, I mean like anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour in 5 minutes. You know, you can't pull that stuff off with Facebook or even Instagram or LinkedIn. You know, on those platforms, even though they accept video, those videos have to be really tight, like, you know, under 90 seconds, and Instagram won't even show more than a minute video for you at this point, unless you've got enough followers or you are promoting it at this point. So I think 2019 is really going to be the year that darn near everybody jumps in the video. You know, we've been talking about it for 4 or 5 years now, but it's really coming along. All the platforms are built for it. All of our phones are accessing it easily. The networks are displaying it properly. So that's going to be the biggest thing that I think you'll see social media pros and other marketing professionals talking about, is get your face in front of the camera, press record, and say something meaningful.
And a guy that can really address that is on your panel, Tom Lawrence, Mr. YouTube, who has some inordinate amount of followers, like 500,000 or something.
No, I don't think it's that much, but I'll tell you this. I had Tom come speak to our Motor City Connect group in October, and at the time he had 35 or 36,000 followers. And in the week or so that it was between I promoted it and when he got there, he had gained 1,000 followers. And at some point toward the very beginning of 2019 or end of 18, he crossed the 50,000 follower threshold. So he's at a rate right now where he's close to adding 1,000 followers, over 1,000 followers a month, if not close to adding 1,000 followers a week.
Wow.
And of course, there's subscribers on YouTube, right? And what's amazing about that is he gets paid from putting content on YouTube now, man. The rest of us, we all think we're customers. We're not customers. We're not customers of social media. We're the product.
Right.
Well, he's legit now like an employee at this point. He's getting paid for the work he's doing. So he'll share some tips and tricks on how to get to that level, I am sure, because somebody's interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So this panel will be in the afternoon. And so I think we're going to have it in the Science Theater, which can accommodate up to 300 people. So plenty of room to come in to learn at the feet of the masters, as it were. And this is IoT Tech Connect on April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. But Terry, why don't you do your shameless plug now about all the different things you're involved in. Talk about some of that.
So my world still revolves around networking and speaking. Motor City Connect has been growing like crazy. We're averaging 35 to 42 people a meeting. It's always on the fourth Tuesday of the month in Ferndale for lunch. So April 23rd will be our next event. And then I've got, I don't know, five or six speaking gigs between now and the end of May. I think none of them are public, though. I think they're all kind of private. So I teach people how to get better connected, leveraging LinkedIn or leveraging social media or just leveraging old school networking to actually grow your business. How do you formulate the right things to say? Who do you say it to? And where do you actually find them to get that message out? So I'm enjoying that. And that's my world, man. I'm standing here overlooking the freshly thawed out lake, and I'm excited about paddleboard season coming up, man. So my life is happy and joyous right now.
All right. Thanks very much. Terry Bean of Motor City Connect. He will be part of the IoT Tech Connect Conference, April 29th at the Michigan Science Center.
All right. And this is Mike Brennan. And
it's Matt Roush.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. And we'll be right back.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
And we have calling in from the airport as he's getting ready to catch a flight, Greg Melling, who previously, was it the general manager at Mackie Vision? What was your title there?
Hey, guys. Yeah, Greg Melling here. I was the senior vice president of sales and marketing at Mackie Vision in North America.
Yes, and now you're with Unity, which is one of the biggest 3D software companies in the world, right?
That is correct. So right now I'm up to basically a senior strategist at Unity, focusing on areas of growth and evangelism of the technology.
Okay. And let me throw in the shameless plug to get that out of the way. Greg has graciously agreed to run the, well, I guess it's the 3D Technology is Shaping Our Future, that's the title of it, a workshop that'll be held at IoT Tech Connect. And he's going to be teaching, or at least showing everybody, how these various 3D applications can be used. But why don't you go into greater detail, Greg?
Sure. I can share a little bit of those that aren't familiar with Unity, and then I'll talk about the tracks. You know, Unity is mostly known for the game experience platform that we are on about 3 billion plus devices around the world. So a lot of people don't know that the games that they use every day are on the platform. And so we've come in to really kind of shepherd that message about how, you know, XR in real time and the technology landscape is going to change, and talk about how advanced real-time 3D technology is going to shape the future, as you had mentioned, Mike. So we have four tracks set up. So the first one is yours truly here. I'm going to frame out sort of the more holistic view of this emerging landscape and talking about some of the exciting things that are taking place with the Unity technology. And then we're going to move into a second session, which is going to be very focused on AI and machine learning and how we'll say autonomous vehicles learn to drive using the Unity technology. We've got a guest speaker coming in, Jose de Oliveira, who's in charge of our autonomous vehicle solutions at Unity. So very cool. A lot of people aren't aware of all of the sort of the emerging, you know, machine learning, IoT, and AI type of capabilities in the real-time space, and Unity's making a lot of investments there. We have a third track. We're actually planning to have Ed Sosnowski, who's the director of AR solutions at OPS, talk about a more industrial application of augmented reality in the manufacturing process. So that's going to be an exciting chance to see the technology actually applied to, you know, a real business use case actively here in the OEM manufacturing community in the automotive. And then we're going to wrap it up with a gaming to reality talk by Ed Martin, who's the senior product manager at Unity. He's going to talk about how game development is actually informing the way we actually design and build products now. And so that's pretty exciting to see that, you know, these technologies that just 2-3 years back were being used for games and kids and people without really understanding how these technologies were going to get adopted into the real industrial space as viable solutions to actually solve problems for companies. So it's fantastic to see these use cases. We're hoping that people that attend, you know, they're going to see perspectives at different levels. I think what we have to share is going to inform people, whether they're, you know, a high school student or they're in college or they're actually a working professional, even in the field. So I think we're going to have a lot to share. I'm pretty excited to be a part of it. So thank you.
Okay, Greg, it's Matt Rausch. Listen, at my day job at Lawrence Tech, we just recently had a conference of the LTU Game Development Club. It's called Infinite Machine. And they,
awesome.
And we have two programs there. We have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Game Art, and we also have a Bachelor of Science in Computer Science with a concentration in game software development. Obviously, in that context, Unity comes up a lot. But what I thought was really interesting was that we had 6 alumni of our programs come in and talk about their careers. And they are using gaming technologies for very serious purposes, like training mortgage bankers at Quicken and training people training people at the Fed. You know, this is, you know, people are so used to sort of the game setting now, the computer game setting, that it's being used for a wide variety of things, not just gaming anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of research in the deep learning side of things that basically shows that if you can apply somebody in a more immersive learning environment, that they get a deeper learning experience. And that's what employers are looking for, educators are looking for, is how we connect to people using advanced technology so that we can teach people skills quickly and effectively. You know, interesting to your point, you talked a little bit about you know, the future in careers and some of the things that are taking place at LTU. You know, Unity developer, that title is actually one of the top 10 fastest jobs in the U.S. according to LinkedIn. And I think that's pretty interesting. So I think young people, you know, if you're excited about interactive technology, you're excited about game development, understanding that it goes far, far beyond that element, and there are some fantastic careers ahead for people that are actually going to learn these technologies. We're just now learning to understand where that's going to take us.
Yeah, my personal favorite from that conference was the LTU graduate who is working for a couple of them. In fact, they're working for a document management company here in the Detroit area that does software for local governments and courts. And you wouldn't think of game technologies being part of that, but designing the workflow, making things easy to do, that comes right out of games.
Absolutely. Yep. You hit it. I think it's really interesting too. There's so much happening in this immersive and AR space, right? So we've got two different types of applications for learning like this. One is to augment what you see, so basically looking through something and adding information that's in the context of what you're seeing. And then the other side of it is completely immersing somebody into a virtual environment where you can actually create a completely synthetic scenario, and that can almost be anything. So you can basically take people and transcend this typical environment. It's pretty, there's some pretty cool data points around Unity that get us pretty excited. We are on 69% of those immersive virtual experiences with like the Oculus and HTC Vive, mm-hmm. HoloLens, for example. We have 90% of those experiences for HoloLens are actually built in Unity. And then, of course, others like Samsung VR and others. So it's really incredible to see how quickly real-time immersive experience and augmented reality are taking off right now. It's going to be an exciting topic for the conference.
And Greg's track is in the afternoon in the IMAX theater so that he can do projections around there. It'll be kind of cool. And for those that can't do a full day, we offer a half a day ticket that includes lunch for only $50. So you get some lunch. You could catch what's going on in Greg's workshop. You could do some cool networking. Maybe we could get LTU to make it a field trip. Who knows, right? You know.
Well,
there you go.
I'm gonna spread the news about the conference at LTU. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you guys. We're really excited to be a part of it, and yeah, I'm looking forward to some of the conversations that we're going to have with the folks there at the show and what we have to share.
We still got about 4 minutes left. I don't know when you got to jump on your plane, but let's see if we can squeeze in a little bit more. What's your predictions for where all this is going this year and next? I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but this is like really hot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I just got off a call with a gentleman that is the head of our machine learning at Unity. His name is Danny Lang. If you look him up in YouTube and see some of the material that he's put out, he actually was the head of Amazon's AI machine learning before joining Unity. Just a fantastic mind. And really what we're seeing is that the future is going to be a much more experience based immersive content world. Right now most of the way we get information is being given to us via 2D means. We're seeing it on mobile devices that are in our hands. We're seeing it on the TV at home. 3D communication and digital and immersive experience have really just begun to make its way into our everyday environment. And I think what's really interesting is imagining a world where, all of us have access to in-context information wherever we are, and it's presented to us intelligently as part of our life, and we've got tools in place that sort of filter what we really aren't interested in away. And I think there's going to be a lot of things that happen between now and then, but that's the world that we see.
All right. Greg Melling, who now is with Unity. 3 billion appliances are using your software then, huh?
On a monthly basis. Yeah, we have actually about 1 million monthly active developers that are in the world, and we actually support 35 platforms. So, whether you're developing, on iOS or Android or, for the PlayStation, for example, we're supported on all those platforms. And so there's a lot of devices out there, and I think we're just getting going.
And again, Greg's workshop is going to be in the afternoon at IoT Tech Connect, April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. And if you can just come in for a half a day, it's only $50, includes your lunch. You get to get connected to all this really cool stuff and get positioned for the future, right?
Yeah. You get to meet me.
Oh, that's the most exciting part right there. I mean, he'll be doing autograph session there. So.
Oh yeah. If anyone ever wants one, all you got to do is ask. I'm still waiting for it, but you never know; it might happen. So,
okay.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks, Greg. A safe flight today.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. We want to thank Greg Melling of Unity for his appearance on the show today. I want to thank all of our guests. Before Greg, we had Terry Bean from Motor City Connect talking about social media promotion at IoT Tech Connect. Earlier, we had Tim Parker, president of Grand Angels, on the phone, and Lauren Hoffman of Woodward Angels in studio to talk about the How to Pitch an Angel Investor track at IoT Tech Connect. And we kicked off the show with Mike's partner in IoT Tech Connect, Rick Beckers of CloudTech One?
CloudTech One, yes.
Yep, okay. And he talked about the two of the tracks he organized, IoT 101 and Technology as a Service. So this was an all IoT Tech Connect show today, but that's okay because it's coming right up.
Yeah.
And it's finally coming together, and it looks like a terrific set of programs here.
Yeah,
great panels.
It took me 4 months to get all the tracks organized, so talk about herding cats.
Yeah.
But now we got it all up. We were in a hurry because yesterday I was on CBS 62 with Carol Kane, and we figured that might drive a few folks to the website. So I said to everybody, we got to have these tracks up. We don't want to waste this publicity opportunity, right?
So now everything's organized.
Yeah,
and it's
pretty much.
Time for it to happen.
I'm focused on April 30th. That's when I start my vacation. So,
and you'll need one by that point.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. So that's the IoT Tech Connect Show, April 29th at the Michigan Science Center in Midtown Detroit. Check it out online and sign up. The tickets are a mere, what did you say, Mike?
$99.
$99. All right.
Wow.
All right. We'll be back next week at 2 p.m. Eastern Time with another edition of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.